Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Merry Christmas, dear ones. Instead of asking how was your Christmas, I will ask you how is your Christmas? Certainly, I hope you had a lovely Christmas day, but I hope that your celebrations of Christ's birth are continuing. Because, like I reminded the children, it's too wonderful of a thing that God has done to be limited to a one-day celebration. That's why we celebrate for 12 days in the church. We have a different calendar because we have a different story to tell. And the remarkable story that we get to tell this season is that God's love is so wonderful and so powerful that God became human, that God was born a tiny, vulnerable infant, that God's love took on human flesh. And today, on the seventh day of Christmas, the lectionary gives us a gift by giving us a few minutes to ponder the tender and faithful story of Simeon and Anna encountering baby Jesus. I love this story. Simeon and Anna are two of my very favorite people in Scripture. I not only want to be like them when I get older, I want to be like them now. They are deeply, deeply faithful people. And when we encounter them in Scripture at great age, we get to witness two people whose character has been so shaped and formed by decades, by a lifetime of intimacy with God. They are devout Jews who have spent their entire lives waiting for the Messiah. Their Advent wasn't just 4 weeks or 4 Sundays long. Their Advent season was decades, decades long. I mean, think about it. We get impatient waiting for a meal at a restaurant or at a traffic light or in the checkout line at the store, or if we have to reboot our computer. But here are two people who have waited for decades, and yet even after all that time, they never, never gave up hope that God would keep God's promises. You see, we live in a culture that doesn't wait well. We've become so accustomed to instant gratification that we expect it. And when we don't get it, we can get frustrated, we can get grumpy, we can even get mean sometimes. And some of those times when we are waiting on God and it takes longer than we want or longer than we think it should, we might think that God doesn't care about us anymore, or that God isn't listening, or that God has forgotten about us or what we are waiting on. We might even think that God is absent. Even though none of those things, none of them are true. Sisters and brothers, part of the good news of Advent is not that we are faithful in our waiting, because so often we are not. The good news of Advent is that God is faithful to keep God's promises, and that God is faithful in God's coming. And this was something that Simeon and Anna knew deep, deep in their bones. And not only did they know it, they lived it. For decades, they trusted God's faithfulness. For decades, they held on to the hope that God would fulfill God's promises for God's people. They trusted God so deeply to keep God's promises because they knew the character of God is faithful and merciful and compassionate. They knew God intimately and deeply, and it shaped who they were. It shaped how they lived, and it shaped how they waited. And then one day after waiting for a decade, near the end of their lives, they, with their own eyes, they see the answer to their prayers. They see the one that they've waited for with their very own eyes. And as if this wasn't amazing enough, when they saw Jesus, they knew when they saw him that he was the one that they had been waiting for, which is even more remarkable to me. Because we know that for so many people in Scripture, Jesus wasn't the Messiah that they wanted or expected. And I wonder what Simeon and Anna expected and imagined that the Messiah would be. I've always wondered, after all those years that they prayed and waited and hoped, did they actually think that maybe the Messiah would enter the temple as an adult? As a strong military leader capable of conquering the Romans? Did they really think that instead, as Luther said, that God would become so small for us in Christ? Did they expect that the Messiah would be an infant, so vulnerable and dependent on his mother for everything? Or what about this? Did they expect that the Messiah would come from a prestigious, well-to-do Jewish family? Because Jesus didn't. And yet, when they saw this very young mom and dad walking in the temple with two turtle doves, which for them would have been a sign that Mary and Joseph were very poor, the expected sacrifice would have been a lamb. But if folks couldn't afford that, there were other options. For the most poor, they were the turtle doves. And so when Simeon and Anna saw Mary and Joseph, this teen mom and dad, walk in with their baby, here they see that the Messiah would be raised by teen parents in poverty. Did they expect that that's who the Messiah would be and that's how the Messiah would be raised? But even if they did expect a powerful, well-to-do adult Messiah to be the answer to their prayers and the fulfillment of God's promises, the moment that they encounter baby Jesus, we get no hint of disappointment. We get no hint of frustration. Instead, we witness their delight and we hear their joy and their hope and the relief in their response. Even if Jesus did not meet their hopes and expectations, they knew in that moment that this baby was the answer to their waiting and their prayers. And they had waited their whole life for that moment. They didn't hesitate for a bit to receive this new thing that God was doing and had done, and they received it with their whole selves. Simeon took Jesus in his arms and began praising God. Simeon not only held the fulfillment of God's promises in his arms, he held the creator of the entire universe in his arms. He not only got to behold God with his eyes, he got to cradle God in his arms. Simeon and Anna didn't care that God did it differently than they expected or wanted. They embraced what God had done and was doing. They embraced this new way that God had come to be with humankind. Because they knew God so deeply and intimately, they immediately were able to recognize and receive Emmanuel, God with us. And we're told that Anna praised God for the rest of her days, telling people all about Jesus, about what God had made known to them, about what God had done. The words that we read of Simeon praising God in many churches are sung after communion. Now, Lord, let your servant go in peace, for my eyes have beheld your glory. Because like Simeon and Anna, even though we don't get to encounter Jesus in baby form, we get to encounter Christ every single time we come to this table. We get to see the presence of Jesus with our eyes, and we get to hold it in our hands. Because as Lutherans, we believe that when Christ's words are spoken over the bread and the wine, that the bread and wine become for us the very presence of Christ. We believe that the presence of Christ is in, with, and under the bread and the wine. And so every time you come to this table, you not only get to taste and see that the Lord is good, you get to hold the presence of God in your hands, and you get to receive it into your body. And then you get to leave this place, taking the presence of Christ with you everywhere you go, so that Christ can continue to be born in us and take flesh in us, so that we can go and share the love of Christ with everyone, everywhere we go. Beloved children of God, come to this table and encounter Jesus. And just like Simeon and Anna, as we hold Jesus, may we praise God with our whole selves, and may we spend the rest of our days telling people all about Jesus and what God is doing in and through him. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen.